Well, if you could open your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I was thinking about this passage this past week. I think as Brian and I were meeting, we were talking briefly about this whole time with David and Nathan and the interaction that the two of them have after this time with Bathsheba. And it just got me thinking about this particular passage. And if you look with me, we won't read through the whole thing, but basically after this time with Bathsheba and everything that David does in the previous chapter, God will have Nathan come to David, and he begins to give him this scenario, and he says there's two men in one city, one rich, the other poor. He'll go on to say the rich man had many flocks and herds, but the poor man had this one little ewe that was very precious to him. And it'll even say like a daughter to him. And then he says that there's a traveler that's coming to the rich man, and he goes and begins to take the poor man's lamb rather than from his flock. And David, of course, looks at this and he goes, well, this guy, he's in trouble. He was wrong, and he needs to do this, he needs to do that. And of course, Nathan in verse 7 goes, David, that's you. And you know, what I began to think about is if we're not careful, it's how we begin to receive God's word sometimes, isn't it? You ever begin to hear teaching out of God's word, and we sit there and go, I sure hope they're listening. We begin to look down and go, did they hear that? Maybe I'll repeat it when I talk to them. Or maybe even sometimes we're sharing out of the word of God and teaching, and we go, yeah, I just hope they're convicted by this. And we begin to think that way, but God's telling us, this is for you. What are you hearing out of this? Let me worry about this one. Where's the log in your eye? And, you know, it's not that the others don't need to hear it too, but we don't want to miss that God's teaching us something through that. And if you look in Psalm chapter 19, shared a part of this passage a few weeks back at Offertory with you, but, you know, as I think about the Word of God, and, you know, funny enough, it's David that God will have penned this psalm about his Word. And what you begin to see as you go through this chapter is it's a very personal relationship that God has with us through his Word. He begins to say things like, he'd begin to restore your soul and to begin to make you wise. And you know, you see a very personal interaction as you go down. It says, verse 11, by God's word, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is a great reward. And he'll even go, acquit me of hidden faults and presumptuous sins. You go, it's possible that God even knows things sometimes in our heart that we don't even see are there. But if we'll go into a time of being taught or studying in God's word, going, God, what do you have for me today in this? Reveal that thing that I don't even maybe know is there. And the great thing is it begins to then take that word, as it begins to be personal in our life, and God begins to work on our heart, and we begin to now be able to share those things with others with the right heart. But it's got to be real for us too. And as I was thinking through this, Donald, I got to call you up with me. Donald and I have been meeting in discipleship for a while now, you recently started teaching every Sunday morning with the 4 to 7 class, mm-hmm. You now teach every Sunday with the lesson. You're in there with you and Miss Kim Phelps, and you started doing the lesson portion here fairly recently, and you were just sharing with me here, I think these last couple of weeks that we've met. As you've been studying and preparing and for that time of lesson, God's been really doing something in your heart. So I asked you if you'd share. So maybe just what you shared with me.
Okay. Hopefully this microphone can't pick up my heartbeat right now. But so going in the 4 to 7s class, one of the stories we were going over was when the Israelites were being given the manna in the morning and the quail and the meat at night, and God told them only to grab a certain amount for the day, and that's all that they would need. But I can't imagine some of them were coming up with what ifs and imagining what if God doesn't bring manna the next day. So then they would grab extra, and all it would do is spoil, but God would still bring them in and be faithful. And that brought to mind, we're getting ready to go into 2 Timothy, a verse that was in there, which says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So looking at that story, it's pretty easy to see what the right thing to do is. And I'm looking at it, it's so simple. How could you like think like that? But you know, that's me. I can't think of how many times in my life I created a what if or questioned if, you know, what's going on in my life is really the right thing or if God loves me. And hearing 11 a.m. with Pastor Gary having that sermon and talking about just really what doubt and fear is, and that's me not believing God loves me and me making him have to prove it to me again. I'm just putting him back on the cross. So, you know, that was a double whammy. I got pretty humbled looking at that and thinking, you know, I don't want to be that way. You know, I believe God loves me. And he's been giving me manna way before, you know, I was even born, and preparing the church I'm in, preparing the people that are in my life and the workplace I'm at. So thinking in the realm of God loves me, I can take what he gives me each day and believe that that's enough. You know, if he loves me, I can't be afraid of anything. If he loves me, I can't doubt him. I can't think that the life scenario that I'm living through is not what's perfect for me, because he loves me. And I believe that. And so, you know, even though I'm not faithful, he's faithful. And so knowing his character and how much he loves me, it makes me want to just live my life knowing that I'm okay.
And all of this God was beginning to stir up as you're preparing to teach.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the things you shared with me is then you begin to go in front of the children and God had really made these things real.
Yeah. I mean, there's already a couple scenarios or different stories that I've cried in front of these kids. Like I'm sharing it and God's pulling on my heart and I'm like, golly. But how loving it is that he makes it real in my life when I go to share it with the children, because then I get to see his goodness in my own life. And so, you know, I'm excited to continue to learn and for him to continue to make it real. And hopefully I can portray him correctly to them.
Thanks, pal.
So.
You know, one of the books that's meant a lot to us as a family through the years is the book of Philippians. And I begin to read through that and go, how real is it in Paul's life? He goes, I'm in prison, but God's doing good through this. People are trying to make me look bad, but you know what? The gospel's being proclaimed. And when I begin to read through that, I go, I'm so encouraged seeing the realness in Paul's life. And we begin to share the gospel with somebody. We begin to share out of his word, whether we're teaching, whether we're just sharing with someone. That it would be real in our life comes through crystal clear, doesn't it? So it's my prayer that we wouldn't just know these things academically, but it would be real. We would ask God, what do you have for me today in this? That begins to really qualify us to share it more than anything else. And we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you today for your faithfulness through, as we're in your word, and you begin to work and convict our hearts, and you begin to grow us to be more like your son. May we be soft towards the things that you're teaching us. May we not allow pride or arrogance to begin to come in and get in the way of receiving what you have for us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities you give us to live these things out and to see your power to change our hearts and to begin to give opportunities to share testimony of how good you are. Lord, we give you and you alone the thanks and praise today. In Jesus' name, amen.